Bonjour et bienvenue à un autre épisode de Mauvais Pilote, le podcast où nous écoutons des émissions de télé vraiment merdiques puis on en parle. Comme toujours, je suis votre hôte, Daniel Brioux. Aujourd'hui, nous avons écouté le remake québécois de Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Escouade 99. Aiden, as-tu aimé cette tas d'ordures?
Dan, I'm not gonna lie, I'm, you know, the resident Anglo here, so listeners, if you're tuning in, you aren't bilingual because you went through the Canadian public school system, much like myself, and didn't retain any of your French immersion, I'm with you. We're here on this journey. I will be your co-pilot. Dan is leading the show for the Francophones this time, but I got you. Don't worry. We're here. We're here together.
Yeah, I also want to reassure our listeners and let you know that that intro was very much for a show. You know, I like to tout that I'm bilingual, but
definitely you do.
I learned French in Brampton, so how bilingual can I be, you know? So there's that. But one thing I did say in that mess of an intro was that today we watched the Québécois remake of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is called Escouade 99. And speaking of Andy Samberg, our guest today is my dear sister. What you say? Katie Brio. Katie, Kate, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I don't get the Andy Samberg like intro though.
He did that sketch called Dear Sister on SNL.
Oh, dang. I didn't know that.
You really don't know that?
I would probably recognize it when I see it, but it doesn't come to mind right away. It was a while ago, right? He was on SNL like a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like, it was Andy Samberg, Shia LaBeouf of all people, mm-hmm. and I think Bill Hader parodying mm-hmm. the ending of The O.C. where they all shoot mm-hmm. each other and that song
plays.
That
song, yeah.
But then they just like, they keep shooting each other and then like it keeps restarting.
Anyway. It's very, Dan, we talked about this before. It's like the first domino for millennial cult, like millennial comedy, like our sensibility. Really kind of coming to the mainstream because it's like, it's sort of just funny because it is. Like, there isn't really anything structurally funny about it. It's just like ridiculous. And the joke is that it's so dumb that it's funny.
Yeah. There are like actual think pieces out there about how this is like the first case of millennial humor.
There you go.
Interesting.
But anyway, I'll leave that for you to Google at home. Kate, this was your idea. You're the one who messaged in and said, you guys should cover the Québécois remake of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I thought, wow, that can only be a mess. So yeah, we should. What did you think of this? Are you sorry that you suggested it or do you stand by it?
Yeah, I am sorry I suggested it. It was just as bad as I expected it to be, honestly, watching the trailer and then just living in Montreal and in Quebec and knowing how bad sometimes the parodies of things are and how like context and the humor is a bit like flat.
Yeah.
I took a bunch of notes. Some of them are like interesting things that they skipped over. Mm. Obviously there's like, I don't know if you guys heard about this in Ontario, but when this show came out, there was a big deal because two of the actresses who, like Amy and Rosa in the original one, are Latina. And then in this Quebecois one, they're just like two white women. So mm-hmm. there was like obviously a big controversy about that. So lots of stuff to talk about for the show.
Yeah, for sure. And before we dive too into those details, I do just want to give the listener a little bit of an overview. So I'm sure you've heard of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a comedy that originated on NBC on September 17th, 2013. It was created by Michael Schur and Dan Gore of Parks and Rec fame, and they would go on to make The Good Place. At one point or another, I forget after which season, it was canceled on NBC and then, of course, revived over at Fox. And that was a big deal. A lot of celebrities ended up tweeting about how much they loved it, including Lin-Manuel Miranda and a few other people. In any case, Escouade 99 is a Canadian French language adaptation of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, produced in Quebec for the streaming service Club Illico. It debuted on September 17th, 2020. So just last year, pretty recently. Wow, they both debuted on September 17th. I'm just looking at that now. It's crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah, 7 years apart. Anyway,
Qu'est-ce que tu sais du nouveau commandant?
D'après moi, le nouveau commandant, ça va être un pousseux de crayon qui va vouloir qu'on respecte les règlements à la lettre. Robot commandant activé. Pousseux de crayon.
C'est ce que vous pensez?
Oh! Hey! Alerte au nouveau commandant!
Yeah, this was something I was going to get to later, Kate, but you already brought it up. That whole situation with Melissa Fumero, who plays Amy, one of the leads in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I just want to read her tweet out because it is pretty interesting. So initially, on August 20th, when the Quebecois trailer for Brooklyn Nine-Nine was released, Melissa Fumero tweeted it out and said, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God," with like a big exclamation mark emoji. She said, "This is like peeking in through another dimension." And then she quickly followed that up with a response to her own tweet that said, "Gotta say though, after watching this, I'm suddenly curious about the Latina population in Quebec." Just mm-hmm. saying. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she would later continue to say, "I've been thinking about this a lot, and it basically comes down to this. While I understand the Latina population is very small in Quebec, and how many of them are funny actors, the Amy and Rosa roles could have gone to any BIPOC person, so mm-hmm. it's disappointing to see that they missed that opportunity." She also added, "Furthermore, I love these actors, so I do not mean to shame these actresses. It's not their fault. It's up to the decision makers." So right off the bat, it was sort of embroiled in this controversy.
Yeah, it's funny. I think like that... Katie, you were saying, like, I don't know if you guys had heard this in Ontario. That's kind of the only thing I knew about this show going into it, is that there was some controversy surrounding the casting from the jump. Yeah, the other thing that was interesting too, and Dan, you and I were talking about this before, like, is that the choice to set it in Quebec City as opposed to Montreal, which is obviously like the big urban metropolis in Quebec. I just Googled, because one of the few things I know about Quebec City, I frequent Montreal way more than Quebec City, but I always thought like Quebec City is like an incredibly safe city, like it, and I Googled, it's actually one of the safest cities in North America statistically. the population is around like 570,000 people, and there's a crime severity index rating of 51. The Canadian national average is 71. So from the jump, it's kind of like a weird choice to set this show that hinges on crime being a factor for this precinct every episode. It's kind of funny that like, They set it in the most safe city in Canada, essentially.
Yeah, like there's a moment where Captain Holt says, and I watched the original pilot for the Andy Samberg version just prior to watching this French version, and this same line is in that one as well, where Captain Holt says, "I want to make this the best precinct in Brooklyn." And then in the Quebecois version, he's like, "I want to make this the best precinct in Quebec City." And I thought, that is probably pretty doable. I can't imagine there are that many.
I like in this universe, like, because they get all of these cases, like all of these murders and like pretty intense crimes, the way I'm envisioning the world that they've built is just that like Quebec City just like hands them all of the brutal crimes. They're like, "We'll let 9-9 deal with it, man." Like, "We don't want to touch this, but we'll let 9-9 deal with it."
Okay, so let's get down to the jokes, the humor, because it is a sitcom. As someone who lives in Ontario, I feel less qualified to answer the question of, is this funny? But Kate, you are in Montreal. You've been living in Quebec for... Can you tell us how many years you've been there, and follow that up with, was this funny? Did you find any of it funny at all?
Yeah, so I've been in Montreal for, I think, 13 years. I moved here for university, went to school here, and just loved Montreal so much I stayed. So yeah, Montreal's great. Did I find the show funny? You know what? Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the original one, like Andy Samberg is like objectively a funny show. Like, I love that show. Andy Samberg is great. The writing is great. The characters are great. So the jokes should land, right? Mm-hmm. But in the French one, I think... one of my notes I wrote was just like, it almost felt a bit rushed. Like there was even the intro sequence, you know, it's like Jake Peralta talking to the camera. In the French one, his name is Max Lemire. And he's like talking into this camera, doing this kind of like parody of this movie. And in the English one, he's like then in this like kind of Best Buy type store. And you see you know, him on all the TVs behind him. And then, or sorry, you see his face and then it zooms out to reveal he's talking into like all these TVs behind him. Where in the Quebec one, they just cut to him talking into the cameras. They don't kind of like set it up and then reveal. Mm. And I felt like that sort of ruins some of the jokes, right? Is like they don't give it enough like breathing room to land properly and to kind of like have those visual gags as well.
Yeah. I find that particularly interesting because that also just has to do a lot with the camera work and the pacing of the editing, right?
Right.
Like, just by virtue of having Michael Schur and Dan Gore, who are like very seasoned comedy television makers, they just know how to find that rhythm, you know, and really make the most out of every joke. Whereas, you know, I don't know who made the Quebecois version, but they just weren't as qualified, to be honest, I guess. Did Patrick Huard have anything to do with Escouade 99?
He's the director, yeah.
Oh, shit. He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Let me follow up my last statement then, because I just said...
You were like, who made this? I don't even know who made this.
Yeah, I'm like, who made this? And then I was like, I think I read something about how Patrick Huard was involved. And he is a very famous French actor and comedian. And he was the French counterpart in Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
Oh, even,
which,
no way.
Which is like, yeah, which you've probably seen.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
And he's been in a lot of stuff, including the Quebecois original of what would later become Delivery Man, starring Vince Vaughn. So, you know, it's a real gem right there. The guy knows his shit. Okay, so that's interesting. It was made by Patrick Huard, and it was still, like, not great. So, yeah, damn. I don't know then.
I was reading, I don't know if this is accurate, but I was reading that, like, the entire season of Escouade 99, like, the budget was, let's say, like, $4 million for the whole season, where, like, the Andy Samberg one, like, one episode, the budget was $4 million. So wow, it could also just be like production value isn't quite the same. Like that's probably maybe why this one feels a bit like a cheap knockoff. It's because it kind of is.
Wait, are you saying Canadians don't put as much money into their programming? Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And sorry, shit, Aiden, you were making another point and then I cut you off.
Oh, yeah. I was just curious about the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
If each episode is a shot-for-shot remake of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes. Okay. So another video that I watched in preparation for this podcast was this YouTuber just sort of like talking about it. I guess he has a YouTube channel where he talks about different TV shows and movies and stuff. And I'll shout out his video or like his channel because I found him to be quite informative. It's What the Fuck Kev? It's WTF Kev, which is wow, that is a Quebecois YouTube channel if I've ever heard of one. So anyway, it was interesting. He talked about how over the course of the rest of the season, it becomes increasingly apparent that the other Quebecois versions of Rosa and Terry, in this case, his name is Jeff, and like the others, they just don't have as much to do as they do in the American version. So, for example, Terry in the American version, played by, of course, Terry Crews, is a father. You know, he's really trying to be the best dad he can be. There's a scene where he's, you know, trying to put together this dollhouse for his girls at the office. And then I think Amy helps him or something. And it's like kind of like a touching like B story in one of the eps. And in the Quebecois version, they just don't have that. Like they kind of strip him of all these other things. And, you know, Terry in the original really loves yogurt, you know, and that's sort of like his quirk. And he gets mad when people steal yogurt from the fridge or whatever. In the Quebecois version, Jeff is really into hockey, you know, because of course it's Quebec. So there's got to be a hockey thing. So, this YouTuber guy was just saying that a lot of the things that made the original characters complex and charming members of the ensemble, it's just not present in the Quebecois remake, which is a shame.
I think that's really what like resonated with audiences like when Brooklyn Nine-Nine first came out, right? It's like all these characters are so interesting and different and diverse. Like there was a huge thing about like, oh, there's two Latina characters on this show. Like there was an interview with I think Melissa Fumero, or maybe it was Stephanie Beatrice, I don't remember, but one of them was saying how when they were interviewing for the role, they had heard that there was already a Latina woman cast. And they were like, oh, okay, well, they're not going to choose me then because they won't have two Latina women. And then they did. And like, that's so cool because they were just like two really cool actresses.
Totally.
So yeah, I think a lot of people saw like these interesting stories and complex characters. And yeah, like you were saying, like Terry Crews' backstory and how like Rosa on the show is like bi, and like there's so many cool things about them that they've expanded on that it's just a shame that I guess the Quebec one, they're not dedicating the time to like talk about those stories as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I was doing a little reading too. And again, this is the only episode I've seen of this show. And for our listeners, if you haven't already clued in, I didn't particularly understand this episode because I'm not bilingual. Much of the chagrin of my mother, who is a French teacher. That's a whole different discussion. But one of the quotes that I saw was that the actor that plays Holt's counterpart in this show is he did confirm that his character is he's a gay man as well in the Quebecois version. So I'm hoping that they, you know, explored the same themes and the same plot lines in the American version. I'm hoping and I'm sure they did in this season. But yeah, that was another thing too, like aside from, you know, how diverse racially it was in comparison to a lot of major network shows, they were also, you know, touching upon subjects about sexuality and orientation that necessarily like a lot of primetime shows weren't doing the same way. So I hope that was also present in this version, but I haven't seen it. So,
well, I mean, while we're on the topic of, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine and its relationship to, you know, very topical cultural conversations having to do with representation and stuff. Brooklyn Nine-Nine has also recently had to sort of face down the fact that it's a show about cops, you know, and like, mm-hmm. and that's been something that they've had to sort of grapple with, especially in the past year. And I read online that the forthcoming eighth season, which has yet to premiere, will in fact be the final season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, wow.
So
oh.
I know that is most likely just because, you know, it's a show that's been on the air for a long time. Eight mm-hmm. seasons is like a really good run. But I have to wonder how much of that decision also has to do with the fact that, you know, maybe there just isn't really an appetite to watch cops have fun and like joke around with their friends these days, you know?
Totally. So
it is sort of a weird time to be remaking this show. But I do also want to circle back to the ensemble, because Kate, you mentioned, you know, there's Rosa, there's Amy, there's Terry, there's, well, you know, we know all these names. They're so lovable and charming. When I think of the show, I don't think of it as, oh, that Andy Samberg show, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really like an Andy Samberg vehicle. In my head, it really is like an ensemble cast.
And oh, yeah, for sure.
I think one of the most underrated actors on the show is Jolo Truglio, who plays Charles, the best friend, because...
Oh, my God, yeah, he's so funny.
That's a hard character to pull
it
off.
It is. Like, mm-hmm. He's like a lovable weirdo. He's like his best friend, but you also are just like cringing at him all the time, but like you don't hate him. It's weird.
He's like equal parts repulsive and charming. Which is,
how does he do that?
No small task.
The weirdest tightrope act. Yeah, for sure.
You know who I was thinking of was the Quebecois version of him is this guy who he's like a weirdo Quebecois version of Evan Handler. Do you know him from Californication? He was like this bald guy who was like David Duchovny's kind of friend guy in that show.
He's in Sex and the City also.
Yeah, he looks just like him, but like Quebecois? Like, it's so weird.
But way worse and like kind of older. And, okay. So I wish I could throw up a picture for the listeners at home. Maybe Google him later or something. But he's like hairless. He's like a giant like man baby. Mm-hmm. Like there's bald and then there's.
Did you just look at a photo, Aiden?
No, I haven't seen him yet. But I'm gonna keep going down the wormhole here. One sec. Is his name Guy? Not too sure.
Probably. That's a safe bet. But anyway, he just looks really odd. He's like kind of old and smooth, but also wrinkly. It's just like, it's like staring at, you know, you see those pictures online where it's like, name one thing in this picture. and you can't do it. Like, looking at this guy, I'm like, I don't know if he's 25 or 65.
Oh,
like, I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Like, where the character Charles Boyle is, where he's like between creepy and lovable. Like, they skewed too far into the creepy side for this guy.
They went full creepy.
They went full 99.9% creepy and no lovable.
Yeah. And that is a real shame, because in the pilot, the big B plot is Charles is sort of working up the courage to ask Rosa if she wants to see a movie with him over the weekend. And when it's Joe Lo Truglio doing it, it's like, okay, here's this nerdy guy who's gonna, you know, who's kind of got to like work up his confidence to talk to this like really intimidating badass colleague or whatever. And then in the Quebecois remake, it's just weird, you know? He's like going up to like the Rosa equivalent and just being like, you, me, movie this weekend. And he's just like,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. It feels weird. I was not on board.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you have the material already and you just realize how important choice is from like an acting perspective, just because you already have all the lines. Like, it's not the script that is the issue. It's just the delivery and like the intent behind the lines and how you perform. So yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah. Like, it really, something like this really hinges on just the ability to, I don't know, just like deliver essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even the main character, his real actor name is Michael Gouin, who plays like Andy Samberg. Mm-hmm. Max Lemire is his character name. I felt like he was kind of like a, like, I know that Jake Peralta in the Brooklyn Nine-Nine one, he's like very, you know, like immature. He's kind of this like goofy guy, whatever. But I felt like the French actor was playing that up a bit too much. Like, he was almost like being too kiddish or like too immature and kind of,
yeah.
I was getting almost like drunk Andy Samberg vibes. Like, he was kind of just weird about it, and not in this like kind of playful fun way, but in this kind of like more annoying way.
Yeah, it's like it really is just like a Quebecois caricature of Andy Samberg.
Yeah. Also, fun fact, Michael Gouin,
I think I know exactly what you're gonna say. Is this about another reboot?
No, I was gonna say, Michael Gouin, who plays Andy Samberg, right, he's a Canadian actor and television writer from Drummondville, Quebec. He is most noted for his role in the sketch comedy series SNL Quebec.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
They literally cast the Quebecois Andy Samberg to play Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Katie, I'm so glad you brought that up. That's exactly what I was going to say as well. Okay. There was an SNL Quebec that ran for just a little over a year. And yeah, it's much like SNL in the US, like they utilized like a lot of political sketches, and it was around the time of the provincial election. So yeah, it's really interesting that he's been in two serious like franchise reboots in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, is there an SNL Quebec opening? Do they go like live de Quebec? Say SNL. Like, do they? I'm just YouTubing it right now because I gotta know.
There's a Quebecois version of Daryl Hammond.
They use the same font and everything.
I mean, we already know that they just copy New York's homework, you guys. Like, they just...
Maintenant, vous avez chacun droit à une dernière affirmation. Allez-y.
En direct de Montréal, c'est samedi soir!
Catherine Levac, Léane Labrèche d'Or.
Do you ever watch like any Quebecois TV, Kate? Like, are there any Quebecois shows that you like, or at any point, maybe not currently, but maybe a few years ago? Like,
I don't really have cable. I watch mostly Netflix and like torrents. But I do have, you know, French colleagues and friends, and I know that like Tout le monde en parle is pretty big. There's like a Quebecois like Big Brother or something. I don't know. There's a bunch of reality TV show here. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's The Bachelor. I don't know. But I don't particularly watch a whole lot. Like, I watch sometimes my partner and I will watch the news in French or something, just to like have some French listen to, but yeah, not too much.
How do you think Quebec is different in terms of like cultural sensibilities on TV, like whether it's a comedy or drama, like is actually, you know what, let's talk about comedy specifically here, because, you know, we're talking about Escouade 99, but is there something particular about what makes a Quebecois audience laugh? Because, like, I remember growing up and watching Just for Laughs gags like all the time, and I know there's no words in that, but that is a Quebecois show, and it almost feels British because it I think they have that same kind of like penchant for like goofiness in a way, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
What is that, like, would you agree, or what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think Quebecois people have almost like inside jokes, right, within like the Quebecois or just like French community, where they can make these little funny jokes and like no one else would understand it unless you live there or kind of like are in the in. Whereas like, I guess most other like English or North American TV shows, like it's a bit more global and you can kind of like understand it no matter what. I definitely think, yeah, like Quebecois people or Montreal people or whatever, they're in kind of a bit of a little bubble, and it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing in terms of like, you know, what kind of content they make. There's lots of amazing like French film directors and TV and movies from Quebec for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's lots yeah. of good exports, but yeah, I don't know. It doesn't, maybe it just doesn't quite land unless you get it. That's what I'm trying to say, right? Like unless you already right. are in, it doesn't quite like land for you.
Well, one thing I found even just in the way that all of the characters spoke, it was sort of a harsh reminder because like, okay, Kate and I both grew up in Brampton, but we grew up speaking French. Like we were pretty much, yeah, we were like fully Francophone as kids, you know, like mm-hmm. I've since lost a lot of that French, of course, because I no longer use it. But I remember as a kid even watching L'Union fait la force, like every day, or maybe not every day, but often after mm-hmm. school on Radio-Canada. And like I would watch Degrassi in French sometimes too, actually. But I could speak it, I could understand it like perfectly. Nowadays, not so much. And watching this was a stark reminder of that, especially since I actually just watched Lupin on Netflix, mm-hmm. which is... Mm-hmm. Drama about this guy who's sort of like a gentleman thief, you know, like he steals this necklace from the Louvre. And watching that, I was like, oh, great. Like, I didn't even like really need subtitles. Like, everything is pretty clear. Like, the way that French people speak in France, it's a lot slower and they just articulate more clearly. So I was like, oh, great. Maybe I haven't lost my French after all. And then watching this, I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what is going on in Quebec?
Yeah.
It reminded me of like Tata Clack back in the day. And it's like, ben, as-tu chié dans mon pick-up? Non, je pas chié dans ton pick-up. or like, remember the guy with the pepper, avec le poivre, and at the restaurant? He's like, anyway, it was like old internet videos where it's like, wow, Quebecois is really.
I just remember the Willy Waller.
The Willy Waller, yeah.
3000.
Anyway, so Aiden,
yep.
I didn't know that. Yeah, sorry. I didn't know that we had this in common because it's so funny. You're one of my best friends, and I feel like I know so many things about you.
Mm-hmm,
I didn't know your mom was a French teacher.
Yeah, very recently, before she moved over to the UK, she was a French teacher. Also. Fluent, studied French in university. Yeah, and that's why I say very begrudgingly that I, by my own doing, did not learn French, even though it was completely offered in my own home for free multiple times. And it's just like when you're a teenager, you know, you're just like, I just want to skateboard. Like, I'm not going to stay indoors and like learn this very valuable skill that I should have as a Canadian citizen.
And she's like throwing a becherel after you. Like,
almost. But yeah, so yeah, I'm sorry, mom, if you're listening. She's literally going to message me after listening to this and be like, see, you would have known exactly what was going on. aside from that, like, obviously have French Canadian roots. My last name is French Canadian. There's a reason for that. I feel weird because I love, particularly, like, I love Montreal. Like, Montreal is one of my favorite cities in the world. And anytime I go over there, it's a pretty intense reminder that, wow, I really should have listened earlier on and you know, equipped myself with this skill of being bilingual. But yeah, it is interesting. Like, I feel like the, to your point, like there's a lot of insular content in Quebec that, and I think that's, you know, a very, intentional thing is that they make content for themselves, like, both film and television and music in particular. And that's part of why, like, Quebec is, you know, a unique and special place within Canada. It's like, yeah, it's like, we don't necessarily care if this takes off outside of Quebec. Like, we're making this for us. So, and that's why I was curious, because I wasn't overly familiar with Club Illico. And I guess that's their...
It's basically like, Videotron, which is just another
like gotcha.
Cable provider or telecom provider in Quebec. It's like Rogers or Bell. It's just called Videotron, and Illico is their TV. Yeah.
Gotcha. So it's like a Crave
in
Ontario, essentially. But yeah, I'm curious to see like what else is, you know, on the platform, and more specifically, like what is popular on the platform that's Quebecois specific. But yeah, like, is this show doing okay in Quebec, Katie? Like, have there been talks about, you know, a season two, or what's the temperature over there, like, in terms of this show?
I'm actually curious about that as well. I wonder if Dan's YouTube guy would be able to speak to the actual, like, progression of the series, because I only watched the first episode, so I really don't know. And I was only reading about some articles about them, like, making it and the production, so I don't know about what it's like now. Yeah.
Yeah, so actually, the YouTube guy that I listened to, what the fuck, Kev?
Right.
which, just sort of on that note, Awai Kevin.
Continue comme ça.
Continue comme ça. I know that listeners at home, you probably won't understand it unless you speak French, but you probably know enough French to like find it funny. It is like probably the most viral clip to ever come out of Quebec, and it's from like a few years ago. It's like a guy at a backyard barbecue party basically going up to everyone there, and he's saying like, hey guys, I'm just throwing together this like birthday video for Kevin. Can you just like look at the camera and say like, hey, happy birthday, Kevin? So he's getting like everyone at the party to do this.
But it's like the morning after the party. It's like daytime and they're all still drunk and like still in the hot tub, and they're all just like glazed, their eyes are like glazing over, and he's like asking them to shout out this guy.
And and so most of them are just giving like a pretty classic like, hey, happy birthday or whatever. But there's this one guy who's like very clearly super high, and he's drinking like a Coors, and he's just like, Awai Kevin, continue comme ça. Which is just like, yeah, Kevin, keep it up.
And, iconic.
That is an iconic video, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, according to that YouTuber, I think he said it is coming back. And I think that in the second season, that's where, you know, I'd be interested to know if they change it at all. Because even when you look at The Office, the UK Office versus the American Office, that first season of the American Office is almost exactly the same as the British one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's only really in season two where Greg Daniels and the writers and sort of execs at NBC doing the American version of The Office, they sort of realized that Steve Carell is a very different kind of comedian than Ricky Gervais, you know, and they just have like different energies. So they had to sort of like tweak Michael Scott, and then in turn they sort of changed, you know, well, what about Jim and Pam, and what about so-and-so? And the show really like sort of became its own thing, very separate from the UK version. Mm-hmm. So I do have to wonder if maybe the Quebecois Brooklyn Nine-Nine will sort of follow suit and find its own path.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And that's a question I was going to ask you guys too. Like, rebooting a show isn't a new phenomena. But like, what sets apart a successful reboot to an unsuccessful one? And I guess, Dan, you like sort of just answered it already there. It's playing to the strengths of your cast and your writers, and not necessarily just, you know, going down the exact same line as your predecessor.
Yeah, I think so. When you look at other unsuccessful international reboots of shows, you've got Skins, the UK version, to the American version, which was actually shot in Toronto.
Oh.
And they fell into that same trap where they just tried to make it almost exactly the same. And you know, North American sensibilities are just very different than, you know, what the Brits like. And so there's this weird disconnect that occurs, and it just sort of feels hollow. Yeah, so definitely it seems like the secret sauce is just sort of, you know, drawing on that same inspiration, like drawing on that premise that made the original so intriguing and appealing to begin with, but then really leaning into, well, what makes it different, you know, mm-hmm. and what makes it specific to, or rather, what makes it more relevant for our audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough too. Like, I feel like the dramatic reboots might be even a little easier than a comedic reboot, because what makes a comedy so special are like the performances and the characters. And I think in a dramatic reboot, you're given a little bit more, you know, leeway to just follow things beat by beat, and you're expecting the same thing to play out. But what with comedy, like it's the enjoyment of comedy is so tethered to, like, you know, the comedic actors and how they deliver. And I've basically said this like three times in this episode, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think the other big difference too is like scripted versus unscripted. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of unscripted reality formats that just sort of take care of themselves, because, mm-hmm. you know, if you have like the Brazilian version of Big Brother, that cast is going to be populated by right. like real Brazilian people that will just very naturally reflect the sort of values and behaviors or whatever, like of Brazilian people, because they're Brazilian, you know what I mean? So with a format, you could just sort of let it go. Mm-hmm. But with scripted, it's like, no, you got to really like retool the way people talk. You got to like figure out, well, will this joke be funny with this community? Like, you really have to think twice as hard about why it is you're even making it in the first place, I think.
Yeah.
So I was reading that the director, Patrick Huard, was saying how like they really want to stay true to the original story and like the cast and the jokes and all that. But I think in his words, he said something like, we're going to sprinkle in a little bit of Quebecois. Mm. And like, that's all well and good. But like, you know, this show, the original show is set in Brooklyn, and like this show is set in, you know, Quebec City. Those are two pretty different places.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they can kind of like flex different little like nuances and be more like Quebecois versus like, you know, instead of maybe going into like the bodega and getting a breakfast bagel, they'll go and get like a poutine in the, or they'll go to like the dépanneur and get like a, I don't know, or a hot sandwich or whatever they want to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Montreal bagels, Dan, I know had this queued up, and I'm ready, man, because I know your take, I know your perspective on this, and I don't know where Katie stands, but I have a very particular opinion on this.
Oh, are we voting on best bagel?
Well, we're about to lose all of our Montreal listeners once and for all.
Oh, I already know what Dan's going to say, actually.
Yeah, my super hot take is that Montreal bagels are just bagels. They're just bagels.
I'm shaking
like,
my head.
So many people are like, oh my God, like when I go to Montreal, I like, oh, I make sure to always like bring bagels back with me or whatever. And I'm like, dog, they're just bagels.
Yeah, you guys want to hear something funny? I think it was in the New York Times just recently. Someone wrote this story that was like, hear me out. Bagels in LA are better than New York bagels. But the kicker is, this person who wrote the article got COVID a while back and lost their sense of taste.
No.
Oh, shit.
So people are like, I can't trust you. Like, obviously, this is real.
It's like the food gods being like, nope, I'm sorry.
This is why this person thinks LA bagels are better. Like, they're not.
Yeah. Wow.
Before we lose our listeners in Montreal, I will say, I'm going to stand by this. Dan, you're wrong. Bagels in Montreal just hit so much more different. The first time I traveled to Montreal for work, I gained about 10 pounds because I would just walk around the city eating bagels. I bought a bag of bagels from Fairmount. Fairmount. And I walked back. I know they're both excellent. That's, yeah, I mean, I know. Listen, when I walked back to my hotel, I had a bag of bagels in hand. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to be able to take these back with me because I am one of those people. And by the time I got back to my hotel, I had ate 3 bagels just walking to the hotel, plain, not toasted, not buttered.
That's how good they are.
Hit different. They're the best. Listen, if you, I have a choice between like a Dempster's or a Montreal bagel, like it's no competition. Like there's literally no competition.
No competition.
Yeah, but I'm not necessarily talking about Dempster's. I'm talking about just like, you know, a bakery that like makes it its own bagels. Like,
but there's a Montreal style. There's a Montreal style.
They boil it. They boil the bread or the, what's it called? Mm-hmm. They boil the dough.
Yeah.
And they twist it in a certain way. It has like a nice bite to it. The Dempster's one is just like carbs. Like it just tastes like carbs. There's nothing like, there's no taste.
Or a bakery one. There's a specific style. There's a specific style to doing it because I will say the place in the city that is the most accessible at bagel that is also the truest to Montreal is there's this place called Bagel House that was very in walking distance from my old apartment. And I would go there all the time to buy day olds because they did it the proper way. So nice. Dan, I love you to bits, but
you're wrong.
You're wrong.
All right. Well, clearly, you know, I'm outvoted 2-1. I just think that it's like Big Bagel in Montreal has like created this industry, you know, and it's like a big tourism thing.
True.
And they brainwash people through like really trendy tote bags and like t-shirts. Everyone wants that Saint-Viateur tote bag, you know, the little like smiley bagel guy.
You literally just described Montreal's whole thing, like trendy tote bags, bagels.
I know. I'm telling you. And I see right fucking through it. You know, the bagels ain't shit. It's just the coolness around the bagels.
What's the Toronto version of that?
Oh, God. I'm not sure, but all I know, I think the reason why I'm so jaded is I'm friends with and have worked with so many people from Montreal or who went to school at McGill or Concordia, like whatever. And now they've come back to Toronto and you're in the lunchroom and they bite into their bagel and they go, you know, it's not as good as in Montreal. And it's just like, shut. It's a bagel. I don't need to hear.
They're right, man.
Dan, sounds like you're jealous.
Yeah, literally.
I'm just jealous. I'm just jealous. I visit Kate, and look, I'm not gonna lie. She brings home bagels for Christmas, and I eat them. I eat all of those bagels. Yeah. I'm just a big ol' jelly bean. I'm jealous.
Oh wow! I'm glad we got to the root of it here.
That's all it is.
Bagel therapy.
I worked it out, and I want to thank you guys for listening because I needed to get that out.
I'm gonna go on the record though, Aiden, and say Saint-Viateur bagels over Fairmount bagels.
That's fair. Ooh, see, again, they're both amazing. I just happened to gain 10 pounds eating all Fairmount bagels when I walked to my hotel. And yeah, honestly, imagine eating 3 bagels in like a 15-minute walk, you guys.
We used to do that all the time. Like this is that's okay, my whole like 20s.
Okay, I'm glad it's not just me.
but Aiden, you asked a good question earlier. What is the Toronto version of that? What is the annoying thing that Toronto people won't shut the fuck up about?
I think it's like,
is it Drake?
There's too many options and things in Toronto. Like there's no one like food thing or like one this thing. Like there's just a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
I feel like, Dante, yeah, to your point, there's a whole pride in our cultural exports, i.e. Drake in particular. When in reality, it's like I knew so many Drake haters in the early 2010s that now rap him so hard, and I'm glad they've seen the light. But I just remember like in the early 2010s, it's like you guys didn't rep him. So yeah, I think it's like our cultural exports. People like flaunt a whole, but when you travel too, like if you go to the States or the UK, whatever, and you say you're from Toronto, one of the first things that is, you know, thrown back at you is like, oh, cool. Like, you know, you must know like the Drake crew and whatever. It's like, actually, no, like Toronto's like the fourth biggest city in North America. So
yeah, it's true. Toronto loves to rep its exports that it used to hate on, like when they were small, whether it's Drake or even like filmmakers or actors or like sports teams, you know, everyone's a Raptors fan now, but were you watching
exactly
back when
Bargnani days? No, you Bargnani.
That's exactly who I was looking for. And yeah. Like in my head too, that name. Holy shit.
You know what, Dan, insert the Primo Pasta, the Bargnani Primo Pasta commercial here just for listeners. Cause it is so special.
All right. And here's the Bargnani Primo Pasta ad right here, just for you guys.
Before Andre hits the court, he must be ready for anything. Exercise and drills help Andrea stay game ready. But to be fully prepared, Andrea needs to eat right. With Primo Pasta and sauce as part of a balanced diet and healthy lifestyle, Andrea can compete game in, game out.
Primo Pasta and sauce.
Quick and nutritious, simply delicious.
Anyway, I feel like we've gotten very off topic, barely even talking about the show anymore. Kate, do you have any last thoughts or any random notes you may have made about the show before we move on to The Price is Bad?
Yeah, I have a couple funny little notes I made. One was just like the American one. There's a great cameo by Fred Armisen, who is this like weird little neighbor guy in this like apartment building, and Jake and Amy like knock on his door and he's like, hello, who's this? And like he takes the photo away from them. Anyway, it's a great cameo moment. Fred Armisen is so funny and weird in it. And they like completely skipped over it for the French wedding. Yeah. I was like, so like, oh, like that could have been such a funny, like, who's the Fred Armisen of Quebec? You know, like that could have been a funny little cameo moment that they totally kind of missed out
Clearly on. Somebody on SNL Quebec would have been the Fred Armisen.
Yeah. It would have been such a cute little nod to be like a clin d'œil, if you will.
Mm.
But yeah.
I did notice in that same sequence where Jake and Amy are sort of knocking on different doors in that apartment building, trying to look for a witness, like the scene where they see Fred Armisen.
Melipnos.
There's also they also knock on this one apartment and there's a stoner who answers the door and he's like, oh, detective, I'm sorry if it smells like weed. There was a guy who just ran out of here who was smoking weed. And Andy Samberg says, oh, is it the same guy who left that bong? And he points at a bong on the floor. And it's like, wah, wah, like, this guy's a stoner. Like, that's the bit. Anyway, they do that same bit in the Quebecois version, but weed is legal here. So it doesn't really make sense. He, like, points at his pot plant and he's like, oh, like, looks like you're growing. And the guy's just like, yeah. So I thought that was funny. I was like, wow, they probably should have switched that joke up at the very least.
They just raise the stakes. He's doing like, he's just like cutting up a bunch of lines or something. It's like, whoa, what a detour. Whoa. Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. Escouade 99 goes hard.
I would love that though, if they just like doubled down.
They honestly should. I think it would actually like add so much character and like make it 10 times funnier.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, it would have been funny if he knocked on the door and it was like the 19-2 guys who like answered.
Yes.
That's why you work in development, Dan, because that's a good note.
All right. Well, that brings us to a segment that we here at Bad Pilots or Mauvais Pilote like to play at the end of.
How about, I was going to say Pilote de Merde. How about that?
Pilote de Merde? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Just shitty pilots.
Pilots.
One thing. Okay. This is a total, again, tangent. I'm a bit of a scatterbrain tonight. I apologize. But one thing I really do love about Quebecois culture versus how things are over in France is swear words, you know? It's the fact that it's all church stuff. I mean, that's kind of fun.
It is fun.
That's quirky. Like, us see the tabarnak, the kaolist, it's just like, it's very satisfying, like the way it rolls off your tongue. Anyway. I knew this kid, Charles-Éric Pugh, was in elementary school who would always say tabarnoche because he didn't want to get in trouble by the teachers.
That's so cute.
How about the tabarouette?
Yeah.
Tabarnoche, tabarouette.
Madame Nadeau would be like, qu'est-ce que t'as dit? And he'd be like, non, madame, j'ai dit tabarnoche. Je m'ai pas dit tabarnak. And then she'd be like, t'as dit tabarnak. And he'd be like, non, Carliste. Anyway, wow.
Oh my God.
All right, so we're going to play a little segment called The Price is Bad, except we're kind of not going to play it because this show isn't on Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb. So instead, we're just going to have you guys give it your very own rating. So, Aiden, out of 100, what would you give this show? Hang on. Sorry. What would you give the original Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then what would you give the Quebecois version? Because I the score for the original.
Okay. Well, I mean, one of my favorite sitcoms of the last 10 years. I don't know. Like, I would give this, you know, in true numerical fashion, I'm going to give this a 9.9.
Oh, wow. I love that. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you kindly.
And what would you give the Quebecois remake?
Seeing as how I didn't understand any of it, I feel like it's unfair for me to give it a lower rating. So I will also give this a 9.9.
Oh, wow. That's
it's very generous.
Very pragmatic of you.
Only because I didn't understand any of it.
That's fair.
I'm not going to shit on them.
All right. Well, Kate, you did understand it. What score would you assign?
Do you want my score for the original?
Yes.
I rewatched the pilot before the French one as well, and it holds up. It's a great pilot. Yeah, I think it really, like, it is exactly like the show. Like, it's exactly like all the seasons. It already starts to set up the characters so well, and it's funny. It's, like, already funny, which is kind of cool for a pilot. There's only a few characters, like Rosa and Boyle, they hadn't quite fleshed out yet, but, like, everyone else was, like, on. Gina Linetti, a.k.a. Chelsea Peretti, is amazing. Oh. I love her. So, yeah, I mean, gotta give Brooklyn Nine-Nine a 9.9 for sure. Is this on 100 or on 10?
On 100.
Yeah, I would also say 9.9 on 100 because this is one of my, like, you know how some people have, like, Friends or The Office that's, like, their comfort show? Brooklyn Nine-Nine is my comfort show, and I've watched all the seasons, like, so many times. So, yeah, nice. Gotta give it up. The French one, I only want to give it, like, I want to give it some good ratings, but only because, like, the writing is good, and the writing is good because the first one is good. So,
yeah, that's fair.
It's definitely, like, the French one copied the homework off of the English one. I'll give it, like, a 6.5. Like, it was fine, but, like, it could do better, you know? It could do better.
Yeah. Sorry, 6.5 as in 65?
Sorry, 65 out of 100, yeah.
6.5 out of 100.
I was thinking about on 10.
Yeah, I think that I would give the original also, like, a 9.9, a close to perfect score. I think that it's, yeah, Aiden said it perfectly. It's one of the best sitcoms of the last 10 years, easily. And it just has such an all-star ensemble cast. Like, I don't think that there's a better ensemble in comedy on TV, period.
What about young Sheldon?
Oh, you're right. You're right. My bad. It's the second best ensemble on TV in comedy. And this Quebecois reboot, I would probably give, I don't know, man. I would give it like a 30 or something. I would just, I think it's below 50 for me. Mm-hmm, I think it gets a failing grade just because, as Kate said, the source material was there.
Right.
They just, they dropped the ball. I thought about saying that in French for a minute there, and I was like, I don't know how to. how do you say drop?
I'm blanking now.
Guys.
We suck. We can't.
We're échappé, no longer authorities.
Échappé le ballon.
Ils ont échappé le ballon. Ballon.
It's not the same thing. There you go.
Carlos. Okay. All right, and that's about it. To the listener, thank you so much for making it this far into the podcast. If you've been listening, we really appreciate it. Feel free to give us a positive review on Apple Podcasts. Leave a comment if you so please. That would be nice. And if you're listening on Spotify, give us a follow. To our one extremely consistent listener in Île-de-Clichy, France, I hope we made you proud. I hope we served you up some French content that, I don't know, made you smile at least at some point. And then, lastly, just want to throw it to Aiden, as always, to give us a moment of zen. Aiden, do you have anything?
Merci, Dan. Yes, I just want to direct this. I want to direct my moment of zen to anybody in the world that's listening right now that has a parent and or guardian that speaks French. just let them teach you French, man. Listen, I know you're going to want to go outside and skateboard. I know you're going to want a game, but this is a really valuable skill that you will be able to utilize for the rest of your life. So, you know, if there are any Aidens out there that are listening that have the ability to learn French for free, just do it, man. Just do it. I love you. Bye.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.